Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. Ghosts of Panama by Mark Harmon is a narrative history that revisits the tense years leading up to the 1989 United States invasion of Panama, focusing on the human consequences of political collapse and covert maneuvering, set against the rise and unraveling of Manuel Noriega's regime. The book frames Panama as a crossroads where intelligence operations, organized crime, and Cold War-era power struggles intersected with everyday life. Harmon centers the story on a murdered U.S. Marine and the federal agents and investigators working in a volatile environment where allegiances shifted quickly and reliable information was scarce. Rather than treating the invasion as a distant strategic event, the book emphasizes the on-the-ground reality of policing, diplomacy, and personal risk in a country sliding toward violence. Through this lens, readers are invited to consider how decisions made by leaders reverberate through institutions and individual lives, and how justice can become complicated when national security and politics dominate the narrative. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Noriega's Panama and the Anatomy of a Strongman State. A central topic is how Panama evolved into a pressure cooker under Manuel Noriega, with state power shaped by personal loyalty, coercion, and opaque security structures. The book situates the strongman dynamic within Panama's strategic value, the canal, international banking, and proximity to regional conflicts. In such an environment, official institutions can function less as neutral governance and more as instruments of control, blurring the line between law enforcement and political enforcement. The narrative highlights how this kind of regime creates uncertainty for locals and foreigners alike, because rules change depending on who is asking and what interests are at stake. It also underscores how authoritarian systems tend to generate shadow economies and informal networks that thrive on secrecy and leverage. Readers see how the buildup to crisis often looks incremental rather than sudden, with intimidation, corruption, and selective violence steadily narrowing the space for accountability. Understanding this context matters because it helps explain why conventional diplomacy and standard investigative procedures can fail. When a leader and his security apparatus dominate information and apply pressure unpredictably, even small incidents can escalate into international flashpoints. Secondly, the murdered Marine and the power of a single incident. Another major topic is the killing of a U.S. Marine and how one violent act can become both a personal tragedy and a geopolitical catalyst. The book treats the murder not as an isolated crime, but as an event occurring within a wider pattern of instability, anti-American sentiment, and regime insecurity. It explores how such a death carries multiple meanings at once for the victim's family and unit. It is an irreparable loss. For investigators, it is a case demanding evidence and clarity. And for governments, it can become a symbol used to justify action or signal resolve. The story emphasizes the investigative challenges of working in a setting where witnesses may be afraid, records may be compromised, and local authorities may be constrained by political pressure. It also raises the issue of narrative control. Competing actors may push versions of events that serve strategic aims, which can distort public understanding and complicate justice. By focusing on this incident, the book illustrates how fragile the boundary can be between criminal accountability and international confrontation, especially when armed forces, intelligence channels, and media attention converge. Thirdly, special agents in the middle law, intelligence, and moral injury. The book's subtitle points to a key theme: special agents caught between competing mandates during a period when ordinary legal processes collided with extraordinary political realities. Federal agents and investigators operating abroad often juggle coordination with embassies, military units, and local counterparts, all while maintaining standards of evidence and procedure. In Panama's late 1980s turmoil, these professionals faced heightened personal danger and institutional friction. The narrative examines how an agent's job can shift from routine liaison and criminal inquiry to crisis management, protective operations, and urgent intelligence assessment. It also considers the psychological burden of working cases, where outcomes may depend less on investigative rigor and more on decisions made far above the field level. This can produce moral injury, the strain of knowing what should happen in a justice system versus what will happen in a political system. The topic highlights trade-offs that become unavoidable in unstable environments, such as whether to prioritize source protection or public accountability, or whether to preserve diplomatic channels at the cost of investigative transparency. These tensions help explain why participants can feel trapped by circumstances they did not create. Fourthly, the road to invasion escalation, miscalculation, and signal sending. A fourth topic is the escalation pathway that culminated in the U.S. invasion of Panama. Rather than presenting invasion as a single decision point, the story emphasizes a series of confrontations, deteriorating trust, and mutual signal sending that made peaceful resolution harder over time. In regimes under pressure, leaders may test boundaries to project strength while external powers may respond with sanctions, indictments, or military posturing. Each move can be read as provocation, creating a feedback loop that narrows options. The book uses the on-the-ground experiences of agents and service members to show how escalation is felt locally. Checkpoints become more hostile, intelligence becomes more urgent, and security planning begins to assume worst-case scenarios. It also explores the complexity of messaging, where public statements, diplomatic notes, and covert actions may not align, increasing the chance of misinterpretation. The invasion, in this framing, becomes the endpoint of accumulated failures of deterrence and negotiation rather than an abrupt departure from normalcy. Readers gain insight into how crises are built, how governments justify action, and how individuals in the middle can perceive the approach of major conflict before the public does. Lastly, Aftermath and Memory: Justice, Accountability, and the Ghosts That Remain. The final topic is what remains after the fighting and headlines fade: the contested questions of justice, accountability, and historical memory. The book suggests that even when a regime falls, the personal and institutional damage does not automatically resolve. Investigations may continue across jurisdictions, witnesses may relocate or go silent, and the political framing of events can harden into simplified narratives that leave little room for nuance. The story also points to how societies and institutions process trauma differently. For military communities, a fallen service member becomes part of unit history and national remembrance. For investigators and agents, unresolved questions can persist for decades, especially if they believe a fuller truth was never publicly acknowledged. For Panamanians, the invasion and its lead-up can represent liberation to some and violation to others, shaping civic identity and trust in government. This topic emphasizes that the legacy of interventions is measured not only in immediate objectives, but in longer-term consequences: rule of law development, institutional reform, and the credibility of international actions. The ghosts in the title reflect these lingering uncertainties and the human cost carried forward by those who lived through the crisis. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers who like investigative narrative nonfiction, modern U.S. history, and accounts that connect geopolitics to the lived experience of people doing dangerous public service. It will also appeal to anyone interested in the late Cold War period, U.S.-Latin America policy, and the practical realities of federal work overseas, including the complicated relationship between criminal investigation and national security priorities. The main benefit is perspective. Instead of viewing the 1989 invasion as a single headline event, readers can better understand how authoritarian power, institutional breakdown, and escalating confrontations create conditions where tragedy becomes more likely and options narrow. It can also sharpen a reader's ability to spot how political incentives shape public narratives around incidents and investigations. Compared with broader histories that focus mostly on presidents, generals, or policy memos, this book is worth buying because it emphasizes the middle layer: the agents, service members, and investigators who must act under uncertainty and bear consequences in real time. That ground-level angle can make familiar history feel newly tangible, while still illuminating the larger forces that drove Panama toward an explosive turning point. If you would like to support Mark Harmon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.